Good morning. When I came in this morning, I got a little very concerned because I see that Phil, in the Shir of Vod, dealt with the mitzvahs of Parshat Hamor. And black, in dark black, he has two mitzvahs. The mitzvah Shelo Lachsod Davar Chalel Bov Shem Shamayim Ben Bnei Adam, the prohibition against desecrating God's name, and the mitzvah sanctifying God's name. And that's exactly what I want to talk about. So I ran over to Phil and I told Phil, what are you going to do? So he said that he went through all the other mitzvahs in the parasha except that one.
Right.
He said, could you tell me if that is hashgacha pras? I want to learn with you really today one pasuk. And I think this one pasuk is a pasuk that defines all of Jewish history. All of Jewish history is summed up in one single solitary pasuk in this week's Sefer. There you have it. Number one, Ushmartem Mitzvotai V'Asitem Otam Ani Hashem. You should keep my mitzvahs and do them. I am God. And here is the pasuk. V'lo techalu et shem chodshi, you shall not defile my holy name. V'nigdashidi v'tov v'nei Yisrael, and I shall be sanctified among the children of Israel. Ani Hashem nekat Hashem, I am the Hashem who sanctifies you. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. There's a great deal to be said about Kiddush Hashem. I'm just going to have to focus on one particular aspect until I get to that aspect. There are stories behind it. It's something that I didn't really want to talk about, but it may sound like a davar shemaisa, but it's the truth. I get up in the middle of the night thinking about something. I came flying into my head. And that's going to send me on my way during the course of this year. But wait, we're not there yet. I'll tell you what I woke up thinking about. It really happened. Yeah. So I felt that was some kind of a sign from heaven that the ritual was telling me, go. You had something in mind you wanted to talk about. Go with it. Say it. It has to be said. Okay. So we learned the pasuk. Let's learn the Rashi. Yeah, well, there's a third pasuk over here, but the Hamotzi, I am God who makes you holy, the one who took you out of the land of Egypt to be a God unto you, Ani Hashem. Rashi, Ushmartem means Zuha Mishnah. Ushmartem Mitzotai means to study Torah. Va'asitem Zeha Ma'aseh. You have to study in order to be able to do. You can't fulfill commandments if you haven't studied. The lo techalalu. Pasuk 32. The lo techalalu. You shall not defile. La'avor al dvarai, by violating my words. Misidin. One of the aspects of Kiddush Hashem is somebody who does an avera intentionally. And I know that it's wrong. I know God doesn't want me to do it, and I don't care. Now, we're going to see a number of definitions of the mitzvah of Chilul Hashem. V'lot mitzvah. Rashi says, Mimash mishenem avalot chalalu. From the fact that it says, you shall not defile. Can't I automatically understand if you have the first part of the pasuk, who needs the second? If you say, don't defile my name, then obviously what's your purpose in this world? Your purpose is to sanctify my name. Mi'marsh mishenem, as Rashi says, and from that, the pasuk says, lo techalu, shall not defile, I confer that the opposite state, God's sanctification will exist. If there's no defilement, if there's no Chilul Hashem, then it's Kiddush Hashem. My time of Loma, what does the pasuk tell me by saying, v'nikdashti? So Rashi says it means Misor Atzmecha, surrender yourself to Kadesh me and sanctify my name. Again, if need be, you will be ready to give your life for the sanctification of God's name. Misor Atzmecha to Kadesh me, surrender yourself and sanctify my name. Yochel b'yochel, one might be able to think, on the basis of this verse that there is an obligation to submit to death rather than to violate a commandment of the Torah, even in the presence of a single individual, I have to be ready to give my life. Even there's nobody else present. Talmud Lomach says, V'nigdashti, the Pasuk said, V'nigdashti b'tov b'nei Yisrael. Kiddush Hashem is something which takes place in public, in the midst of the children of Israel. B'tov b'nei Yisrael. And we're going to see in a moment what's called b'tov b'nei Yisrael. 1,000 Jews? 10,000 Jews? A mezumin, 3, 5, or 10? A million. Alright, we'll see that soon. Atzman, Rashi goes on to say that when a person surrenders himself and is ready to give his life, he should surrender himself on a not long without condition to die. Anybody who is ready for mysterious nefesh, but he's, he has this feeling God is going to rescue him, there's going to be a miracle at the very last moment. That's not complete mysterious nefesh. Mysterious nefesh has got to be, no, you have to do it. If one who does it, amenas haneis, because he hopes for a miracle, ein osim lo nes, no miracle will be done for him. So we find by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were the ones who, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, erected a statue in the valley of Dura, and he called upon all people to bow down before the statue, these three fellows, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, said, literally, over our dead bodies, we are not going to bow down. And he said that whoever does not bow down to this statue will be cast into the furnace. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were Moser Nefesh, and they went into the, they were thrown into the furnace. Shekem Atzinu b'Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so we have found concerning Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shalomosru Atzma Amanas Hanes, they did not surrender their lives with the hope of a miracle. Shenama, as it says, Pasuk of the Navi says, V'heim lo yadia lehev lecha malkav, if he will not save us, God will not save us, you should know, King, we will not bow down to your fashlugana statue. That's it. We're not going to do it. And just about of a whole world, three people don't bow down. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Matzil v'lo matzil, whether he saves us or he doesn't save us. Yedil hevoch, you should know, we will not bow down to your statue. And we don't believe in your God. Rashi doesn't bring it here, but there's a fascinating medrash that the Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah went to the Novi of Babel. There was a Novi yet in Babel by the name of Yecheskel. And they asked Yecheskel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yamod Lanu, is God going to stand by us? Yecheskel receives a prophecy, no, God is not going to stand by you. And he tells the three of them, this is it. No mess. No real thing's going to happen. So they tell Yecheskel, same thing that they tell Nebuchadnezzar. Doesn't make any difference to us. We're going to go and be Moser Nefesh, give our lives on Kiddush Hashem. After they walk out of Yecheskel's house, God appears to Yecheskel again and says, Yecheskel, you think I'm not going to stand by them? Give me a break. Of course I'm going to stand by them. But they don't know that. What's called in the midst of Israel? So here we have number three. Gemara Masechet Bracha says, and from here we learn a very significant halacha. The halacha that we learn from here is called any dovar shevikidusha. Anything that is a matter of sanctity requires a minion of 10 people. V'nigdashti, omar abad barahava. Number three. A single person doesn't say Kedusha. Nagdisha Kunaditzah Nikadesh in Kabbalah, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. A Yachid doesn't say it, you need a minion. How do we know that a Yachid, an individual, can say it? You need a minion to say Kedusha. As you will need a minion for Baruch, you want an Esrei for the reading of the Torah. How do we know? Because it says, V'nikadashti v'tov, v'nei yislov, and I will be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. So the Gemara asks, how do I know the meaning of the word betok? What is the meaning of the word betok? My mashma. How do we see that from the pasuk? So the Gemara says, Atya, we learn tok, tok. We learn a gzeresha. One of the ways, one of the principles by which we can learn how a chotam Torah is called gzeresha. You have a word here, and you have a similar word elsewhere. So we learn one from the other. Incidentally, a Gzeira Shava, of course, could be most destructive. It says the word Yom HaYom Kippur, and it says the word Yom by Pesach. Just like it's a mitzvah to eat on Pesach, it's a mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur. I can go ahead and do whatever I want to do. You can't do whatever you want to do. A Gzeira Shava is only valid if it comes from Sinai. Gzeira Shava, this form of learning one halacha from another, is something that was a principle that was established at Sinai, that God gave it over to Moshe and from Moshe down through the generations. So what's the Gzeira Shava we're talking about? Ktiv Hocha, over here in this pasuk it says, our pasuk in Parshat Hamor says, V'nidashti, and I will be sanctified, Petov B'nei Yisrael, in the midst of the children of Israel, Uktiv Hasan. And it says over there, listen carefully, it says over there in Parshat Korach, God says, He bodlu mitoch ha'etah hazos. Get away from them, remove yourself from that congregation. Now the fact is, that doesn't tell us anything yet either. So, what number do we have? What do we learn over here? The fact is the Gzeira Shava has to be continued with a second Gzeira Shava. Over here by Korach it says the word Edah, and in the parasha before by the Meraglim, they are called Edah Hara'ah Hazos, this evil Edah. And by the miracle, we know how many there were. There were 12 who were sent. Yehoshua and Kalev remained faithful to God. So there were 10 miracles. Now, listen. The Gemara is saying, from the 10 miracles, we learn that to sanctify God's name, you need a minion. Does that strike you as a little strange? From those Gishoyim who brought disaster upon the entire generation of the desert, from them we learn the great principle of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. And therefore for a minion, for Baruch Hu, for Shemayah Eskei, for Kriyas HaTorah, all great things you need a minion of 10. What does it mean? So one of my good friends in the days that I was rabbi in West Hempstead was a neighboring rabbi, the rabbi of Oceanside, New York, about 20 minutes away. Rabbi Benjamin Black. See, once I heard from him, and then I saw that he also wrote a very beautiful, beautiful idea. The idea that he said is that a Gzeira Shava, if you study them carefully, then it's not simply of a word here or a word there. There's an idea that's expressed. He called it thematic linkage. I love that. Thematic linkage. The two words are linked by a theme. What's the thematic linkage over here, he said. He said, you know what we learned from the Meraglim? 10 Jews who do Avera can bring destruction on an entire generation. Can you imagine what 10 Jews doing a mitzvah together, what kind of power that can have? That's what we're learning from the Meraglim. the awesome power of 10 Jews saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. 10 Jews reading the Torah. The infinite and awesome power. The Balat Tanya says, altogether Balat Tanya says that in the presence of a minion, 10 Jews, Malachim, angels, are consumed by that sanctity. 10 good Jews. He also said it with regard to something else, and I'll take out a minute to say it. There's another famous Gzeirah Shavah, and it's just not understood. How do we know that a man can acquire a woman through giving her a ring or money? Ha'isha niknes, the Mishnah says a woman is acquired through kesef. How do we learn it? We learn it, Gzeirah Shavah, kicha, kicha. Taking, take. When Avram bought the field, the Ma'arak HaMachpelah from Ephraim, so it says the word kicha, he paid for it and he took it. And when the Torah talks about a man marrying a woman, it says ki yikach ish isha, a man will take a woman. Right? So I can already imagine the women's libids and feminists will say, well, that's it, you buy a field, you buy a wife, that's all the same. You buy something, you buy her, you buy a field, it's all the same. They missed it. They just plain missed it. They don't get it. Do you know what the thematic link is between Avram buying the field and acquiring the woman? Avram is doing this as the profound act of love for this wife who was everything to him. He's ready to pay every penny he has in order to make sure that she's going to be buried there. This is an act of awesome love on Avraham Avinu's part. That's what we're learning from purchasing the field. The Ma'arat HaMachpelah, you understand? And Avraham knew. No, it's the greatest purchase in Jewish history. That's how Torah sees the purchase of a wife. That's the greatest purchase you will make in your life. It has to be imbued and endowed with the same kind of mysterious nefesh and love and profound respect for Sarah. He knows that Sarah, who's being buried in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, is going to lay the foundation for the history of the Jewish people. When the first Jew is buried in Eretz Yisrael, it means we're here to stay. Nobody is going to forsake a Yiddish Mama. So Gzeirah Shavah is not a word here, a word there. The words come from Sinai, and the words carry meaning. V'nigdashti v'toch v'nei Yisrael, and I will be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. Yes, I learned from Korach, and I learned from the Meraglim that v'toch means 10 people. Because I learned from the frightening power of evil, how destructive it is. So you can learn already about 10 good Jews saying Kaddish and Kedusha, God, what awesome power that is. That's number 3. Number 4, Malbim. From the Dashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael. Fascinating Malbim. We'll read at least halfway through. Just follow me. Masha Kosov B'Nigdashti Miyutara. He says, the second half of the pasuk that says V'Nigdashti, the first half of the pasuk says, you shall not desecrate my name. Now, if you shall not desecrate my name, then the corollary is obviously true. The other side of the story that, well, but we should sanctify it. So he says the Nigdashti is unnecessary, it would seem. She lo yichalu, who kadosh mevela? Because if we don't desecrate God's sanctity, then what happens? He remains sanctified and holy. Rak Yitzuyah says there is a possibility She'ein on mechalel ve'ein on mekadesh. There is a possibility, of course, that a person does not desecrate, but he is also not sanctifying. To go, for example, imamsu lavar aveda she'eino mechalel, if a person was forced, he was coerced to do an aveda. Let's coerced to say, she'eino mechalel, he's not really desecrating God's name if he does the aveda because he was forced. Why is he not desecrating God's name? Achashehu muchrach ha'maseil. He's forced to do it. So he's not desecrating God's name, but he did the aveira. If he did the aveira, so he hasn't sanctified God. And opens there is this in between of not desecrating, but also not sanctifying. A person who does an aveira because he was forced to. Uposet siva. It is here that the Torah commands Shiyakachu Gam Oz Ayyadei Shiyisru Nashim HaKadushat Hashem. In that kind of an instance, you know, the Torah is trying to tell us, somebody wants to coerce a Jew to do an Aveda. So if he'll do the Aveda, he has not desecrated God's name because he was forced. Not something that he did of his own volition. But if he will indeed give his life rather than do the Aveda, then he has certainly sanctified God's name. And that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell us. I hope we'll have a few minutes here to deal with the halachas. This is not always under those circumstances. We're really talking mainly about the three cardinal sins, idolatry, adultery, and murder. The three cardinal sins that one simply is not permitted to transgress them, even on if it means that he will be killed. I don't have a right to save my life by killing somebody else. If a guy tells me, kill that Jew, if you don't kill him, I'll kill you. I don't have a right to save my life by killing the fellow Jew. I don't have a right to bow down to an idol in order to save my life. There is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. There is, of course, another aspect that Rambam talks about. When it's a time that Goyim want to destroy Yiddishkeit, then even on the simplest custom, a Jew is supposed to give his life. And Jews did it. If we defy them, even if it means our lives. Watch further. Ukdushat Shemo, where it's on the line. Ukdushat Shemo Yidbarach Yeh Ayyadei Beit Dvarim. Sanctifying God's name can be in one of two ways. Ayyadei HaMasim Tovim Sheyasu Am Kedosho. We can sanctify God's name by doing good deeds. We can sanctify God's name by doing good deeds. That's one possibility. In other words, when we are a good and an exemplary people, take a look, I'm your stuff. Then there's a second. Watch this. V'ayidei ha'nisim v'nifla'ot she'yaseh v'olam. Through the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that God will do in the world. You'll see in a moment what I believe he means. This is a beautiful idea. He said there are two possibilities for sanctifying God's name. One way of sanctifying God's name in the world is by doing good deeds. Now, if that's all this pasuk meant, then you know what it should have said? Not v'nigdashti. It should have said utekarsheni. It should have said, go ahead and sanctify me. V'nigdashti is a passive form, and I will be sanctified. Why doesn't it say tekarsheni, sanctify me, do mitzvahs, be exemplary people. Be people of honesty, dignity, compassion. Be a beautiful people. Then it should have said utekashen, but that's not what the pasuk says. The operative word is v'nigdashti. V'nigdashti, God is saying, and I will be sanctified. Why does it say that? So take a look what he says. It should have said, Utakacheni, Leine B'nai Yisrael, sanctify me in the eyes of Israel. Bamesha Kosev, when it says, V'nigidashti, V'nifal, V'omiz Gamken, Kiyozi Kadesh, Ayideshi Yaslehem, Nisim V'niflos, V'shidun HaTeva. You know what we're learning from the word V'nigidashti? There's another way to which God is sanctified. You know how he's sanctified? By virtue of the fact that we are the object. We are the object of God's greatness and kindness in the world. When God does miracles for the Jewish people, his name is sanctified. The growth, the development, the power, the strength of the Jewish people, this is a sanctification of God's name. V'nikdashti, I become sanctified through you. It means, therefore, that the prophet is saying two things. Not only do I think more than they need this. I'm going through a moment of inspiration. You're inspiring me. It means that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is not something that God demands of us. He also demands it of himself. If Jews do mitzvahs, then we are sanctifying him. And if he does nisim and it flows for us, we become the object of his greatness in the world. He becomes sanctified for us. Isn't that what he's saying? Romeis gam ken ki oz yikadesh ayadesh yasal and nisim and it flows by God's doing miracles and signs for us. The Shiva that ever, he changes all history. All of nature has changed for us. So I see the pasuk is not only a mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, but it's a mitzvah on God. And God says, yeah, you know how I'm going to be sanctified in the world? Through you. You are the object that is going to make me sanctified. The Malbim is going to go on to say, but in order that we should be the object of God's miracles and signs of the world, then we have to raise, we have to uplift ourselves to a level of great devotion. Okay, you know, I'll just say what's on my mind. Okay. Klal Yisrael in our days, God is doing miracles for us. We may or may not have reached that great level on our own. But you know what? He wants to. He owes it. Post-Shoah, he owes it. He wants to pour out his kindness and goodness to us. V'nigdashti, I will become, God says, I will become sanctified through you. I'm going to show my greatness and my sanctity in the world through you. Through you. The idea is going to continue a little further. We have more to do over here. Let's take a look at number five. Unbelievable sentence that the Rambam begins the laws of Kiddush Hashem. Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, chapter 5, the famous chapter 5, Halacha Aleph. Kol Beit Yisrael Mitzuvim al Kiddush Hashem HaGodol Hazeh. The entire house of Israel is commanded on the sanctification of that great name. Shenema, as it says, V'nigdashti b'tov b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified through the children of Israel. U'muzhorim, and we are warned, shalom l'chalalo, not to desecrate God's name. Shenema, v'lo t'chalu v'chem kodshi, and shall not desecrate my holy name. Ketzah. So here the Rambam is going to begin, we'll read at least this first halacha. They're going to be 13 halachas. Kishiyamo, Akum, Vinyanos, and Yisrael, the guy is going to come and coerce a Jew Lavar alachat mikol ha-mitzvot ha-morot la-chorah o yehargenu. He's going to come and coerce a Jew to be over one of the mitzvahs of Torah, and if he doesn't do it, he's going to kill him. So there the halacha is, yavar, you know what he's supposed to do? If he comes and says, be mechal Shabbos. And if you're not going to be mechal Shabbos now, I'm going to kill you. The halacha is, you know what you're supposed to do? Be mechal Shabbos. Yavar, do the aveda, ali hari. You don't have to give your life. Kenama pamitzos. You see, because this pasuk has to be balanced out with another pasuk in Torah. The pasuk says, the mitzvahs, asher ya'aseh otam ha'adam v'chay b'hem. The mitzvahs that God gave us to live by. V'chay b'hem, we learn from it, you should live for the mitzvahs. V'lo she'amut b'hem, not to die for them. V'yimeit v'lo avar. And if he gave his life, and he didn't do the Aveda, he's done a terrible sin. You don't throw your life away when it's not required. The Rambam's going to go on to say, that's by all mitzvahs. But what happens if it's the three cardinal sins? The three cardinal sins is supposed to give you life. Oh. All right, now. I want you to be on the page where it says Yechezkel 36. See that? We're going to learn part of the Perek in Sefer Yechezkel. And here, I'll just tell you how it happened. I woke up at 3 in the morning. I don't know whether it's filmed in my head before I woke up, if I woke up, in the middle of waking up. I don't know. Anyway, it's a story that may have told it to you some years ago, but it just came flying into my head. I don't know why. Okay? Some years ago, my wife and I were on a flight to Toronto. Remember that story? We're on a flight to Toronto. You don't remember?
No.
Good. If you do remember, you don't remember the details. We were on a flight to Toronto. 20 minutes outside of Toronto, the pilot says, you know, fasten your seatbelts, we're beginning our descent into Toronto. We're not long on our way down into Toronto. All of a sudden, the plane starts going up again. And the pilot announces, we've been diverted, and we're going to Montreal. You can see the airport already, Belgium. We're going to Montreal. Nobody knows. Nothing was told to us whatsoever. And we go to Montreal. To make a long story, a real long story, was hours on end in Montreal. And from Montreal, they didn't let us go to Toronto, but they took us to Hamilton instead. That's 3/4 of an hour outside of Toronto. And in Hamilton, they put us onto buses, and we were bused into the airport in Toronto. It's something that happened on the bus that came flying into my head in the middle of the night. Of course, the end of the story is when we finally get in to Toronto and my wife and I walk off the bus, and there is this Mountie, 6'7" at the base, a giant, and he takes a look at my wife and he says, "Nothing to be afraid anymore, lady. You're safe." When we arrived in Montreal a few hours earlier, one of the members of my shul was on the plane, Dov Rubin gets onto his cell phone and he calls Hadi Meisel, Tzvi Meisel, in Harnov. What happened? Tell me, how many planes were diverted from the Toronto airport? In seconds, you're the only flight that was diverted. No other flight was diverted. It was in the papers there for 2 weeks. They weren't saying much, but it seems there was grave danger to the plane. the story that came out, and we're still not sure. I don't think the Canadians wanted to say anything, but it seems that there was a on one of the main highways outside of the airport, there was a terrorist group preparing to shoot down this plane. And some Israeli intelligence agent got wind of it all, and they notified the Canadian government, get that plane out of there, okay? Lady, you're safe. We get onto buses in Hamilton.
What?
I'm sitting with my wife. There's one fine-looking Jew sitting in front. Another fine-looking Jew sitting here. And then, toward the end, there's a woman, you know, a gray-headed woman already, and then a bubbly, bouncy, I don't know, 24, 25-year-old Gentile woman, otherwise called Shiksa, right? Now, there's a conversation that ensues between the two of us, my wife and I, and the fellow sitting here, and the fellow sitting there. And I didn't believe my... I didn't believe what I was hearing. The fellow sitting here in front of us is from the Borough Park. Where's he from? He's from the neighborhood. I said, what are you doing in Borough Park? I like it better there. Now, Shiksa and mother, ears begin to perk up. They're listening. I talk to the guy on the other side. He lives in Flatbush. Where's he from? He's from Yerushalayim. So I asked him, what are you doing in Flatbush? He's from Yerushalayim. Okay. All of a sudden, wait. Shiksa, blonde woman, Shiksa turns around and says, you have such a beautiful country, and you're not living there? You left it? She was part of a Christian group that had come to celebrate Sukkot. She starts giving these two fellas the words. I turn to Bela and I say, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. If I ever have to thank God for living in Eretz Yisrael, it's now. I should get the words from a guy like these two fellas. What a son of a half of a desire. And then the mother jumps up and she says, Isaiah 49:22. What was I? Thank God I knew what Isaiah 49:22 was. At the bottom of the page, I have Isaiah 49:22. Bottom of the page. So Sarah says, Hashem Elokim, Hine Esau El Goyim Yati, I'm going to raise my hand to the nations. Vel Amim Odin Nisi, to the nations of the world, I will raise my banner. And you know what they're going to do? You know who's going to bring Jews back to Eretz Yisrael? The Goyim. See, here I had just said, I'd said to my wife that, hey, take a look at this. This guy is telling off these Jews that they're not living in Eretz Yisrael. Mother says, 49:22, and there it is. That the Goyim are going to bring Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. They view Baraya Kachotzen, Ubenoy Tayachal Kotev Tinoseno. And your daughters, they will carry them on their shoulders. That was the end of the incident on the bus. And then, of course, the buses made their way to Toronto. And I will say that we had the entire Canadian Air Force was hovering overhead. Some a little traffic helicopter, was riding along with us all the way to Toronto until, of course, we heard those divine words,
lady, you're safe.
I don't want to tell you what happened later because my wife would get very upset with me, and I don't want her to get upset with me. We were interviewed by the CBC, you understand, and they tell us, I don't know, I don't watch TV, but they said we were across all of Canada that night. Everybody, all in Canada. I want to learn a few psukim in your test. Just going to read the psukim, they have to be known. And this is it, because when I thought of this story, the Shiksa story, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the convention was sending me a message telling me, learn with them these psukim in your test. The word of God came to me saying, the house of Israel. Oh God, I just noticed something I never noticed. Wait. How many times have I said you inspire me?
Not enough.
Basis 12, Yoshima Matan, the house of Israel, live on their land by Tamil time, they defile the land, the Darkom, Ubaal Lotam, Kitomatanda. We weren't good. We defiled the land. And because of that, their ways, the ways in which they conduct themselves, were before me like Tumat Hamidah. God says, I poured out my anger against them, about the blood that was spilled in the land, and with their idols they defiled the land. So what did I do for Fitzotam Bagoyim? I dispersed them amongst the nations by Zoru Baratsota, they were spread out along the lands. Kitarkam the Halilotam Shetatim. I judged them according to their ways and according to their deeds. Bayovol Agoyim Hashem Volsham. And he came to the nations where they came. By Yichalum Hashem Kodshi. They desecrated my holy name. Remember, Lo Tchalulu et Shein Kodshi, the pasuk we're talking about. Jews came there and they desecrated my name. How did we desecrate his name by coming amongst the nations of the world? Be'emor lahem, because the Goyim said to them, Am Hashem Eile, this is God's people. Well, me'atso yokso, they went out of this land. They're living in Farkash Farkash. Well, they could be in B'nai Brak in Yerushalayim. The good you saw this is a pleasure. What are you doing there? You know what the post-Phobia is saying? It's not that we did something wrong when we came amongst the nations of the world. This is what, you know, I don't know, they may take me off the air after this. Jews living in Chutz Laaretz, when they could be living in Eretz Yisrael, is Chilul Hashem. That's what the Navi is saying. It's a desecration of God's name. What are you doing there? The Navi is saying, I'm not reading any Zionist gold shut them into the Navi. Watch the words of the Navi as they unfold before your very eyes. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what I'm saying. There's a form of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem that the Rambam may be alluding to when he says, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin al Kiddush Hashem. The entire house of Israel are commanded to sanctify God's name. He doesn't say, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin to keep Shabbos. He doesn't say, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin to eat kosher. But by Kiddush Hashem, he says, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin al Kiddush Hashem. That's what I thought about when I read the pasuk. Ben Adam, Beis Yisrael Yoshua Matam. All the words of the Rabbi here are speaking to Beis Yisrael. And he says that when you came amongst the nations of the world, you desecrated my name. The desecration of God's name is the very fact that Jews are living in Chutz Laaretz. Interesting enough is one word in this last passage that we read is a little strange. Vayovo is a singular Vayavoo el Hagoyim. He came into exile amongst the nations. You know who the great Vayavoo is? God comes with us wherever we are. The Echad Yachid, the Rebbein Shem, comes and his name is desecrated because people are saying, this is God's people and they're not in their land? What are they doing outside their land? He said, God says, you know, I have compassion for my holy name. Asher chiluluhu Beit Yisrael, that the house of Israel have desecrated again. Beit Yisrael. Remember the words of the Rambam. Kol Beit Yisrael mitzvah v'nal kiddush Hashem ha-kodol hazeh. They desecrated my name. Bagoyim asher bo shama amongst the nations where they came. Lachain, therefore, the Nabi Yecheskel says, have more of the days of say to the house of Israel. It's three times already that he has used the word Beit Yisrael. Tell Beit Yisrael, Korma Hashem Elikim, so says God. Lo l'man chamaniyo said Beit Yisrael to Fertimo, for the fourth time. It's not for your sake do I do this, ki l'shem kodshi asher chilaltem, for my holy name that you desecrated, bagoyim amongst the nations, asher batem shah. And the first mistake, our being there is a chilul Hashem. Can you imagine what a kiddush Hashem would be? If Muncie, Flatbush, Borough Park, Baltimore, Cleveland, Chicago, Los Angeles would pick themselves up one day and say, we're finished. We're going home. It's awesome. The world would go crazy. Hundreds of thousands of Jews have picked themselves up and they're going to Eretz Yisrael. What a kiddush Hashem that would be in the whole world. Unbelievable. I will sanctify my great name that is desecrated amongst the nations. Asher chilalten v'tocham, that you desecrated by being in their midst. V'yadu akoyim, and then the nations will know. Ki ani Hashem, no Hashem l'kim, v'hikotshi bon le'enehem. They will know that I am God when I will be sanctified in their presence before their eyes. And you know what the kiddush Hashem is going to be? I'm going to take you from the nations of the world. And I will gather you in from all of the lands. And I will bring you to your land. Wait a minute. You can bring all the spark of power for the world. The sons of Chol Sham, the sons of Echol Chayfus. This woman, not sure really if his gay was good. The other one, not sure if his mother was Jewish or not. You can bring this whole gang over there. We need all of this riffraff here in our holy Eretz Yisrael. Yecheskel, the British don't know exactly. The Zarakti Alech and Naim Tahodin Utahatim, I will sprinkle upon you the waters of purification and you will be purified. Mikol Tumotechem, from all of your defilement, and Mikol Gimulechem, and from all of your idolatry, Altahedechem. I'm going to make you, I'm going to clean you. Benotati Lechem Leim Chodash. I'm going to give you a new heart. The ruach habashai etein kibichem, the new spirit I will give you is vasiroti at leit head and in the sarf, and I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your flesh. And I'll kadeh lechem leit basar, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Was it on this pasuk that Rav Kook and others said there are hearts that are stone, and then there are stones of the kotel that are hard. I will place my spirit amongst you. I'm going to make sure that you're going to do my mitzvahs. What was the passage before the Nigdashti Badal B'nai Yisrael? Wasn't that the passage of Shmartin Mitzvotai Basita Lotomami Hashem? God says, when it's all, I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to make sure. You're going to come back here and you're going to be bashmuts from the exile. I'm going to clean you up and I'm going to purify you. Just have a little sabran look. Give God a chance. Some of our people have absolutely No patience whatsoever. They want instant Medina and Tahara and Kedusha and Mitzvahs. Give me a break. It's going to be step by step. The Zarakti Aleichem Tahara in the Tahartem. I'm going to remove the lathe Basa, the lathe Evan. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And then, you know what? I'm going to make sure. And you will live in the land of and the title of the name that I gave to your father. You will be a people unto me, but I will be a God unto you. I will rescue you, save you, behold to no taken. The Karati Allah dog, and I'm going to call to the grain of your Beit Yoto. I am I going to pour out my goodness to you, I will give you grain. Will I ten election drop? There will not be hunger. The baby of three by eight, and I will give you the fruit of the tree. Utnubahasada, the produce of the field. Lemana shall utiku, O Kherpas Rav, Bagay, you should never again suffer from the shame of hunger. And then, after God is going to pour out all of this goodness, and he's going to change us, then are you going to remember the days that you didn't serve him, and you know you're going to be embarrassed then. Feel that they look, I had such a good friend, the best friend in the world. He's our friend. And we shouldn't have done what we did. You're going to remember evil ways, and your deeds are shalom to him. You're going to be embarrassed before yourselves. It's part of the style of Yechezkel. Repetitions. Every so often. It's sort of kind of refrain. It started all by, I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for my name that is desecrated. That's what I'm doing it for. You should know that. Is that the fifth time or the sixth time? Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel. So says God, on the day on which I am going to purify you. I will settle the cities that had been desolate, and the ruins are going to be rebuilt. And the land that was desolate and hadn't been worked for 1900 years, Te of Aid, will be worked and it will produce. In place of it having been desolate, lay they call over before the eyes of everybody who passed by. Who's your castle talking about? Who's your castle talking about? Mark Twain! In the eyes of the innocent abroad who walks away with Israel. How many times did I tell you, I want to be the one that's going to walk with Rabbi Akiva hand by hand. I want to hold him by the hand and walk through Yerushalayim with him and show him his Yerushalayim. And through end of Israel, you know, all the way to Afua, I want to walk with Mark Twain. Mark Twain, give that book. He described how desolate and dead and nothing is growing, and it's so arid and the dust that they fade. He'll take a look, he won't know I hit him. That's who Yechezkel was talking about. Tachat Asher Haytash Mama, the land that was desolate, La'enei Kol Over, in the eyes of everybody who passed by. Va'omru, and they would say, Ha'oretz Ha'lezu Ha'ishara, this is my place. This desolate land, Haytaki Gan Eden. Ve'ha'orim Ha'chadevo Ha'nishamot Ha'neratzot. And the cities that were destroyed and desolate and shattered, but Shurok and Sheva are now sitting fortresses. The Yaduakrayim, Ashim Shorus, the nations that will remain around you, they're going to learn lesson fast. Kiani Hashem, I, God, am the one Baniti Haneher Asot, I'm the one that built the shattered cities. Notati, I planted Hanishama, the desolation. Ania, the desolate land, Ania Hashem, You barely, I said it, bless you. So I want to say, I'm saying therefore number one. So, you know what, I'm not afraid. I'm reading it into the Rambam. The Rambam in the fifth parak, when he talks about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, he's talking about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem of individuals. But there is a Klal Yisrael Kiddush Hashem. When the Rambam begins by saying, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzvah Ben Al Kiddush Hashem Agob Azeh, there is a Kiddush Hashem that can be fulfilled only by Beis Yisrael. What is it, five times that Yechezkel talked about Beis Yisrael? What's the Kiddush Hashem of Beis Yisrael in the world? I can see the newspapers in the world describing all the Jews that are leaving America to come to Eretz Yisrael. What happened to these Jews? They're all one of them. It's better that it happens that way than a young Christian girl, you understand? You have such a beautiful land. If you don't live there and you left it. When I say that we were both very, very happy that we were able to say proudly, we live in Eretz Yisrael, boy, believe me, we were very proud. I can say, yeah, lady, you're nothing to be afraid of anymore. You're safe. You're safe and sound right here. So I'm saying that there's the Kiddush Hashem of the individual, and there's the Kiddush Hashem that is created by Klal Yisrael. But you know what happens by virtue of our being here? That's the pshat in V'nigdashti. V'nigdashti. I automatically become sanctified without B'nai Yisrael. And what did the Malbim say? The Malbim said that God's sanctification comes by virtue of the fact that he does nisim and flows for those Jews. That's the Kiddush Hashem of our day. This country is a Kiddush Hashem. The more they hate us, the bigger Kiddush Hashem it is. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzvah Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh. But you know what? I stand by what I said. I stand by what I said. You want to do something?
I just wanted to. Ezra also brought in the Jews who were not particularly religious.
Oh yeah.
And he brought them in first, and then he changed them.
She's saying that Ezra brought problematic Jews back to Israel, and then went to work on them. Yeah. That's right. You know what? Life is problems. But life is not problems. Life is problems and solving of problems. There will always be problems. And we'll always work on solving them. But this chapter in the Tesla, by the way, you don't know it, but you all know a pasuk that appears earlier in this chapter. So I have to tell you the pasuk. When Yechezkel speaks to the mountains of Israel, V'atem hori yisrael, you mountains of Israel, am v'chem titeinu, give out your branches, tver yechem tisu, carry your fruit, la'ami yisrael, my people Israel, be careful of all. What was the great statement that was made about that pasuk in Yechezkel? If you want to speak to God, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. That's Kiddush Hashem of our days. That's okay.